They don't all want a clear one. This is a clear one. So
on page 228. And this is the Sikha of the evening and the day of Asar B'Tavis. At night after Ma'ariv on Asar B'Tavis, and the next day after Mincha, as the Rebbe had established the custom that's brought in Halacha, that on a fast day we speak Divrei Kavushin. And also Shabbos Parshas Vayechi in the year Tavshin and Beis. And whatever starts off with Parshas Vayechi Hissim V'chaitim Sefer Rishon Yamamayla V'chshivas the Chamisha Chum Sheitera. Parshas Vayechi is the end and the seal, so to speak, of the first book of the five books, and it's first not only in positioning, but it's also first in Maila and Chashivas. Sefer Bereshis, Gamu Lashon Reish, this first book is known as Sefer Bereshis, which also has in it the root of the word Reish, which means head, beginning. Hanikra Sefer HaYosha, which is also called the Book of the Righteous, or the Book of the Just, depending on how you like to touch the word Yosha, which neither word is quite exactly a good definition. Or the Book of the Straight. Sefer Avraham Yitzchak V'Yankiv Shenikru Yishar. As the Gemara Avodah Zarah explains, that it is called such because it is the book of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yankiv that are called Yesharim, which is also a book. It's also a sefer which is completely devoted to Maisa Avos, Simon Labana, which is, in other words, all other svarim in the Torah. Even Sefer Shemais, which is partly the stories before Matan Torah and then followed by Matan Torah, but all the other books in the Torah deal with the commandments, with the mitzvahs. The Book of Bereshis is devoted entirely to Maisa Avos, to the stories of the Avos, which, as we say, that the stories that take place with the Avos is a simon lebonim, is a sign unto the children. And as the Rebbe explains many times, that it's not only a sign, it's a sign here in this sense means that it is that which gives the kayach for the Avedah of the Banim, as he says, Shemahava Hiro, Nasinus Kayach, Lechlos, Avedah Habanim, Kol B'nei Yisrael, that this Sefer is, being that it's devoted entirely to Maisa Avos, provides the directive and the empowerment for the general Avodah B'nai Yisrael, which starts of the Banim, right? Where does the Avodah of the Banim start in Torah? Shematchil b've'eil shmeis B'nai Yisrael. In Sefer Shmeis starts the Avodah of the B'nai Yisrael. All the other parashas till now are dealing either with Maisa Bereshis or with the Avos themselves. So the Banim, When does the Torah start dealing with the Banim? It starts from Eilu Shmeis B'nei Yisrael, in the beginning of Parshas Shmeis, of Sefer Shmeis. When Hemsheches B'chol Dalar Asvarim Shel Achrize, and the Avodah of the Banim, the focus of the Torah on the Avodah of the Banim continues throughout all the four Svarim that follow. B'chol Dal Tzifrei Kedush, the Torah Neviim Chsuvim Ad L'Divrei Ayomim, Divrei B'nei Yisrael Ad Tzif Kol Adiris. And it follows through all 24 holy writ, holy books of the Torah, the Vayim Ksuvim, till Divrei Hayamim, the last of those 24, which contains which synopsizes or encapsulates within it the entire history of the Jewish people until the end of time. Umudgish b'shma ubetechna shel ha'parsha shebo mesayimim v'chesim sefer rishon shebetech. And this is emphasized in the name and also in the content, the substance of the parsha with which we end off and we seal the first book in the Torah. Shema parsha vayichi yankiv. The name of the parsha is Vayechi Yankiv, as we find in a number of places that it's referred to as not just Vayechi, but it's referred to by the name of Vayechi Yankiv, for instance in the Rambam. So in the Rambam, at the end of the Siddur Tvilas, the Rambam lists different haftaras of each parasha. So he refers to each parasha by name. He refers to the parasha as parasha Vayechi Yankiv. Shekivan sheYankiv hu bachir ha'avos. Since Yankiv is the chosen from amongst the patriarchs, mahavim chaya Yankiv hasachakel the sefer hayash sefer Avram Yitzchak v'Yankiv. So therefore, Yankiv's life represents the sum total of the final tally of the book of the just, the book of the righteous, the book of Avraham Yitzchak v'Yankiv. Ve'al yodoy, and through him nimshachim l'chol b'nei Yisrael. Through him it is drawn down to all the Jewish people. As he points out in footnote 7, why do we say that from Yankiv it is drawn to all the Jewish people? Not only because technically Yankiv is the actual physical father, but in addition to that, the Rebbe points out, Ki yodua, she Yankiv kelu kol aneshamas, hanikub Yisrael me'elam v'ad olam. That brings from the Tanya, the Geras HaKedosh, that Yankiv includes in him, includes all the souls of the Jewish people forever and ever, v'ad shenikraim kulam al shmei, to the point that all the Jewish people are referred to by his name, Yisrael v'Yankiv. The Jewish people are referred to as Israel or Jacob after the name of Yankiv. So from Yankiv is Nimshach, the Kayach of the Avos, is Nimshach to all the Bnei Yisrael, Kol Inyani HaAvos Shebesefer HaYosha. All the matters of the Avos, all the Inyanim that the Avos give over, which are contained in Sefer HaYosha, this is brought to the Jewish people through Yaakov. Therefore, Yaakov represents the sum total of the avodah of the Avos and the transition from the Avos, the passing over the torch from the Avos to the Banim. Hamshach atzmihi be'efen, the Yashar Yechazu Panemi. And the Hamshach itself is in a manner of, may they, that they shall perceive your countenance straight. Here Yasha is used as straight, that it's in a straightforward way. That sometimes a person can see somebody from the distance and his face is turned, and you see the person but you don't really see him straight and clear and in fully open and revealed way. So here the concept of Yasha, Yachzu Paneme, is that the Hamshacha from the Avos is in a way that it's direct, open, and revealed. Ad shenasa hamayim rumatzav devayichi yankiv etzil kol bnei Yisrael ad seif kol aderes, and to the point that this enables that there should be the inyan of vayichi yankiv by all Jewish people through the end of all generations. Taken up, so that's the name of the parsha. Teichana Pasha. What's the content of the Pasha? Birchas Yankiv Lubonu. The Pasha focuses primarily on the blessings that Yankiv gives his children. Before the bracha to the sons, there's also the bracha to the sons of Yosef. That Ephraim and Manasseh shall be to me like Reuven and Shimon. Hamshachas, which bracha is Milashan Hamshacha. Hamshachas in Yana Yankiv L'chol Banav Yud Beis Hashvatim Shekelim Kol Bnei Yisrael Atziv Kol Adeus. That the drawing down, because that's what the end of bracha is. The Chassidus explains bracha is Milashan Hamshacha. That Yankiv is giving over to them, he's drawing down all his inyanim to give to all his children, all 12 Shvatim, which include all the Jewish people to the end of all generations. And the Rebbe, in footnote 14, it So the Rebbe says as follows: Mes Maschel Mes Chalkus Lepezei Fani Aveda Hakloliyim the Ruvim Mishimen Ephraim Menashe Kruvim Mishimen Yuli. The Rebbe is explaining that if the bracha to Bnei Ephraim, to Bnei Yosef, and the bracha to the Yud Beis Shvatim is not two separate inyanim, but rather the bracha to Bnei Yosef is an Eifin Kloli, and the bracha to the Yud Beis Shvatim is an Eifin Prati. So he explains that the Beis Eifani Aved of Ruvi Meshimen is Ria Ushmiya, as explained in Terah in the beginning of Parshas Vayechi. He discusses the two basic types of Aveda, of Ria and Shmiya. And after the Parsha starts off with Ephraim and Menashe Kiruvei Veshimen Yiuli, the Hamshacha of these two types of Aveda, of Ria and Shmiya, okay, only then does it go later and go into the particular details. Achreze Bois Chalkus, the Prate Efani Aveda, the Yud Beis Hashvatu, then comes the specific brachas to the 12 shvatim, which each one of the brachas is a hamshacha, which is relative to each one of these types of aveda of riya and shmir. So he says, if that's the case, if you look in the footnote to the footnote, the Rebbe says, if that's the case, that Reuven and Shimon represent Klalos Avodah of Bnei Yisrael, okay, Riyah and Shmiya, and then the Yud Beis Shvatim, as they're part of 12, represent 12 distinct specific aspects within Riyah and Shmiya. The Rebbe says, Alpizah Yesh Leimah, Shabaminim, the Reuven and Shimon, Pashas Va'era, Teir Shehusik, Liachas Shifti, Shalevi, Ad Meisha Va'ara, Nechlo, and Kol Bnei Yisrael. We find a unique thing in Parshas Va'eira. Parshas Va'eira gives a detailed listing of Reuven's descendants, a detailed listing of Shimon's descendants. It starts giving Levi's descendants until it gets to Moshe and Aaron, and then it just goes off to talk about Moshe and Aaron and their shluchas and Mitzrayim. And that's it, who Moshe and Aaron, and it goes off on all different topics. And so it's the only place we find in the Torah that the Torah gives a partial, starts a detailed counting of the Jewish people and stops in the middle. This moves on to something else. So the only two Shvatim that you have a complete listing of their descendants is Reuven and Shimon. Even Levi, it stops in the middle. It cuts into Moshe and Aaron and then that's it. So Rashi explains that really it wanted to be Miyachas Moshe and Aaron. In order to be Miyachas Moshe and Aaron, imagine Reuven Hashem. But that's still not enough of an explanation. The Rebbe is saying that. I was saying that Reuven Hashem represent the Klolos Aved of Bnei Yisrael. And afterwards, there's the Shvatim Haud and the Schalik L'Pratim, the Yud Beis Prate Aved, the Pratistic Avedus. The Rebbe says that would be the pneumistic explanation and why. It appears in the Torah, the only place where the Shvatim of Reuven and Shimon are counted, and that's it. Okay, back inside the Sicha, Ubalasha Chazal, Yankiv Avinu Lay Meis. In the words of Chazal, our father Yankiv did not die. Ma Zareh Bachayim, Af Hu Bachayim. Just as his children are alive, so too is he alive. Shechay Yankiv him chayim nitzriyim. Al yedezah shenim shochem etzel zareh bezerah zareh ad seif kol aderes. Zareh b'chayim. That Yankiv's life is eternal life through the fact that his life is drawn into his children and his children's children till the end of all generations. Zareh b'chayim. His seed, his descendants are alive. What kind of life are we talking about? We're talking about Chaim Amitim, that his descendants have true life, i.e. the limud dukiyam ha-Torah, through the study and fulfillment of the Torah, Chayenu ve'erech yameinu, our lives and the length of our days, in Yonishel Yankiv, which is the inyan of Yankiv Teda. As it says, and he set up a testimony in Yankiv, and a Torah he placed in Yisrael. So if you look at footnote 16, it's a little faded, but the Rebbe says that since we're saying that Yankiv Avinu's, the Yankiv Avinu's life, we say that his life is extended for all eternity, even according to the Pshat. The Rebbe is not negating here the Pshat that it means that Yaakov's alive in Gashmis, physically. He's just saying that even if we're learning that he's alive physically, but the very fact that the Torah makes that the way we learn that out, the way we are apprised of that fact, is from the fact that in the Pasuk compares him to his seed, to his descendants. So the linkage is not just circumstantial and coincidental. The linkage is the kavana, because that in itself, that which is his chayim, his life, is extended for all eternity through the fact that, not only through his own life, but through the fact that his descendants live with the kayak that he imparted in them and empowered them with, which is the union of Teda. So, Pisa Yesh Levayr HaShach is the Shem HaPasha Im Techna. The Rebbe says, based on this, we can explain the connection between the name of the Pasha and its content. The name of the Pasha, we said, is Vayichi Yankiv. It's talking about Yankiv's life. The Techna of the Pasha, we said, is the Brachas to the children, the Amshacha to the children. Now, so what? Because the name of the Pasha is not because you have no choice, you have to call it by the first words, and those are the first words, but also and especially because of the fact that it's connected to, and it indicates the substance, the content of the Pasha. And he points out in the footnote to the footnote from the Ragachava, that the Ragachava says, Ki kol dova afshu achrechi l'cheira hachem b'kavonu mechovenu mitzvah pi Hashem. Even those things which seem to be a certain way because you have no choice, even those things are not coincidental. But that's part of the plan. That's what the Rebbe Jemma says. So if in order to do a mitzvah, there's just certain things you're gonna have to do first. So it's not you say, well, you know, in order to have a Sefer Torah, you have to write it first. In order to have tefillin, you have to write it first. So, okay, there the Torah says specifically you should write it. But I'm saying in order to write it, you have to prepare the ink and the materials and everything. So the Rebbe Jemma says all those things are included in the mitzvah, even though it would seem to be so you only have to do them because, you know, if it would grow on a tree, so you could theoretically do without it. But the fact is it doesn't. Even though you're doing it because you're trying to lead up to something else, but the fact that it has to be that way doesn't detract from its importance in any way. That's also part of the plan. It was to make the world that way. That it has to be, that it's essential, that it's necessary in order to get to what you're trying to accomplish. So similarly, even if you say, well, the fact is you do see that the names of the parishes are taken from the first verse, and you're trying to find a word that from the. But still, no, even if it's just because you just need to give it a name, you have to call it something, you need to call it something from the beginning, instead of making up a different name for each one. But still, that's also not a coincidence. It's also part of the plan. Okay? So that being the case, so the question is, Shatechem the Reva Parashu B'nei Gelechai Yibonov, B'nei Bonov Shliyank. The content of most of the Parashu is talking about his children and his grandchildren of Yankov. As emphasized in the brachas of Yankov to his children, as it says, Isha Sheb Kibuchasi Berach Esam, that he gave each according to his blessing, he blessed them. As Rashi explains, Bracha Asidu Lavi Al Kalechad Vechad, that he blessed them for the future, for those future blessings that will come to each individual Sheva down the road. throughout their lives and the lives of their descendants in later generations. And as we find in many things, there are references to things. You look in Rashi on the brachas, references to many things that weren't going to happen till far in the future. To Shaul HaMelech, and to Mordechai and Haman, and to get to Shimshon, and to Bat HaMikdash, and all kinds of things that were not going to happen until many generations later. And Yehuda's kingdom after the time of Mashiach, I mean, a lot of things that right? Afa Pika, Niklas Hashem Chai Yankiv, Yechi Yankiv. Still know the Pasha is, the name of the Pasha is, and Yankiv lived, that it's about Yankiv's life. The substance, the content of the Pasha seems to be primarily about the lives of his children and his grandchildren and his descendants to the end of time. So the answer is, Kim, and Shamitis Chai Yankiv Chaim Yitzchim Yisbate B'chai Yibon, Mazari B'chaim Afu B'chaim. Because that in itself is the expression of Yaakov's Chayus, of Yaakov's life. Through the fact that his descendants are alive, that in itself is Chai Yankiv. It's not two separate things. Ma'azari b'chaim, afu b'chaim means that the lives of his children and all his descendants till the end of time, that is all the extension of the eternal life of Yankov.
So is he limiting it to the children?
No, not necessarily. He's saying even, here he's not getting into that. Whether you're learning it like the Marsha or you're learning it like... He's saying that the expression of his eternal life in this world that we see is through his children. Whether or not Yaakov's Chai Mitzvim is expressed in his own guf is nothing that, but that's not revealed and expressed in the world. Right? The true Nitzchius of Yaakov's life is dafka expressed in his children and his grandchildren. And the fact that they live on as he lived, with his teachings and his keches. Ubisiyam kriyas pashas vayichi shabam misaimim v'cheis m'sefer rishu shabateira machrizim chazak chazak v'nis chazay k'minig Yisrael. And at the end of the reading of pashas vayichi, with which we end the entire first sefer in the Torah, we proclaim chazak chazak v'nis chazayk, as per the Jewish custom. Shavayichi Yankov mahave chizik al avedu d'chol b'nei Yisrael ad siv kol adev. That Vayichi Yankov, that we take from Vayichi Yankov the chizik, the strengthening that we need for the avedu of all Jewish people to the end of all generations. Vopiyah yidur Hashem parashis ha-tere shayosim yuchid lazman shebekirim parashis. Based on that, which is well known, that the parashas of the Torah are especially connected to the time in which we read these parashas. Yeshu v'aygam akeshav ashayach the parashas v'yichi siyim sefer rishon shebetera sefer ha'yosha shemahav nesin eskeh v'chizik l'avedis b'nei Yisrael b'chol adedis l'asar v'teres. We have to explain the connection between parashas v'yichi, which as we said is the end of the first book of the Torah, the book of the straight, the just, the righteous, which provides the empowerment and strengthening for the service of the Jewish people through all generations, the connection between that and Asar of Tevis, the tenth, the fast day of the tenth of Tevis, Ufrat B'Kviyas Shana Zu, and especially as it falls out in the year of Tarshan and Beis, Asar of Tevis Chal B'Yim HaShlishi D'Parshas Vayichi, Asar of Tevis comes out on the third day of the week of Parshas Vayichi. The Yema Shabbos Kedesh Parshas Vayichi Shabbay Nasa Ili Vashlemis Vayichulu Dan Sarabu Tevis Hu Biyem Yud Dalad Tevis Erev Ascholos Tesvav Tevis Shemasa Vamincha Shabbos Shabbay Kaim Asira Dukhedesh Tevis Bashlemus. Especially the Kvirs, how it comes out that Sarabu Tevis on the third day of the week, and therefore Vayichi itself is the 14th of Tevis, the Shabbos of Vayichi, which the Shabbos is the completion and elevation of everything that comes in the week previously. So the completion and elevation of Asar B'Tevis comes out on the 14th of Tevis, which is the eve and beginning of the 15th of Tevis, which starts after Mincha. Which the 15th of Tevis is the day in which the moon of Chodesh Tevis is at its full fullest, Kelim Yichra Shlemis Tassarab Tevis Kulakama, including us and especially the Shlemis of not only the month of Tevis, when the moon is at its fullest, but the Shlemis of everything that's contained within that month, including especially Tassarab Tevis, as we shall see. First, we have to preface the unique union of Asar B'Teves. Asar B'Teves, Echad Midalar Atzemes, Shechiyuva Midivle Sefer. On the 10th day of Teves, which is one of the four fasts which were imposed, whose obligation are, were imposed by the Chachamim de Nevi'im, also known as Divrei Sefer. Yesh Nechaim L'Gabi Shara Tzemes, Afilu L'Gabi Tishbe. Shalom L'Kiyem, right? L'Gabi Shara Tzemes, Shem Divrei Sefer, Shem Rak Kiyem V'Layla. B'Dugmas Atzem D'Yem HaKipurim Shech Yuvim Min Atev. Asar B'Tevis, of the four fiests that were imposed by the Nevi'im, by the Divrei Sefer, Asar B'Tevis is one of them. It has a Chumrah, Lagabi, all the other fasts, including Tisha B'Av, which Tisha B'Av we know is unique, that the fast day includes the night just as well as the day, right? As opposed to the other Drabbanans, including Asar B'Tevis, which you only fast the day, not the night. And yet, there's a similarity between Asar B'Tevis and the fast day of Yom Kippur, which is Menat Teres, which is what? Shafilo Yechal B'Shabbos Menman Shayim Kachan Al Piyadi Yekel Gamesh Tzman Lach Lechur. It's based on the Gemara, Tainus. David Raham says, and it's brought in Beis Yosef, Lahalacha, that if Asar B'Tevis came out on Shabbos, nowadays that we are Mekadosh Al Pi Cheshbon, that our calendar goes according to the Cheshbon, not according to sightings of the new moon, it never falls out on Shabbos. But David Raham says that if, that back when it was done by visual sight, and therefore there was no set day of the week where any one thing could fall out, and it was possible for Asar B'Tevis to fall out on Shabbos, in such a case, the fast day would take place on Shabbos itself. Why? Because what is unique about Asar B'Tevis, as opposed to the other Rabbanan Dikah fast is including Tisha B'Av, which are pushed off. Why is that? Because Asar B'Tevis says on it, the Navi Yechezkel refers to Asar B'Tevis, it says, Be'etzem Hayem Hazeh. Since Be'etzem Hayem Hazeh, it says on Be'etzem Hayem Hazeh, so they established that the fast day has to take place on the 10th of Tevis, no matter what. It can never be pushed to a different day. And therefore, if the 10th of Tevis falls out on Shabbos, as in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, even the many years after the Beis HaMikdash, in which they still had a Beis Din Samach, a Beis Din that had been ordained directly, man after man, from Moshe Rabbeinu, so they still sanctified the month based on visual sighting. So, in those days, they would fast actually on Shabbos itself if the 10th of Tevis came out on Shabbos. So you could say the explanation of this. The four fast days were established because of four different events that are connected to the destruction of the temple, which one followed the other. In the order of the events as they took place, on the 10th of Tevis, the king of Babylon set up siege outside the city of Jerusalem. On the 17th of Tammuz, the city was broken into. The walls were breached. B'Tisha B'Av, Chadav HaBayis B'Rishenu B'Sheni. B'Tisha B'Av, the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, the first and second Beis HaMikdash were destroyed. B'shlishi b'tishrei, Nera Gedalia ben Achikam v'nichbes Gachelus Yisrael ha'nesher eschol. Third day of Tishrei, Gedalia ben Achikam was killed, and this extinguished the last ember of the surviving Jewish people, in the words of the Rambam. Since Asar B'Tevis was the beginning of the whole chain of events which brought about the actual destruction, since the beginning of something which breaks through, which opens up something which was not there before. The beginning of something very often is substantively more powerful than anything that follows it. Even sometimes, it sometimes even has a greater impact than the final result. The initial thrust, the initial breakthrough, often can have an even greater impact than the final result. And therefore, it has a certain severity relative to the other fast days, which are connected to the progression and the completion of the destruction. So this is also understood as pertaining to the positive aspects which are contained within the fast days. If that is true about the negativity of the destruction process, that the beginning has in it an added power, an added quality which does not exist in the progression, so soon would that be when looking at the positive element which is contained within the fast days. And looking at the positive element which is contained within the fast days, we also have to say that the beginning, that which is the beginning and the opening, that which breaks through, has in it an element, aspects which are greater than anything that follows. Therefore, the positive elements are with greater measure and greater force in Asar B'Tevis than the other fast days. Even including Tisha B'Av, which we say is the time of the birth of Mashiach, which is the beginning of redemption. Even relative to that, there's still a mile in Asar B'Tevis over even Tisha B'Av. Like the opening of anything new in matters of holiness. Any new breakthrough, any new opening, any new Indian and Kedusha, there's certain kach that there is in the beginning that can be found even throughout the process and its conclusion.
Why is it a new opening and a thing of Kedusha if it's this tremendous destruction?
He's saying that that's what he's going to explain. Okay. Everything in it.
You'd think it's the opposite of Kedusha. I mean, even though it has...
As you would think it's the opposite of Kedusha, you know it's...
Yeah.
But everything that is in the world, even those things which are the opposite of Kedusha, externally, but Pupnimius, they're all good. So Pupnimius, on the surface, it seems to be starting off a chain of negative events. And since we will see, as he's going to explain, that ultimately all the fast days are supposed to be transformed into Yom Tovim. If all that happened on these days is bad, and you remove the bad, so then they become neutral days. Why do they become special days? They become special days because obviously they have, because there's obviously a good that is contained within them, and that's why they become a special day.
Right.
And he's going to explain that even as we experience those days today, as negative times, as fast days, we could also see that it's a special day. The Bira Inyan. What's the Bira Inyan that Asar B'Tevis, as much as it's the beginning of a chain of negative events, it's also the beginning of a chain of a new Inyan of Kedusha. The Rebbe explains, Yema Tainas, who Koloshan HaKosuv, Yem Atainus Ukulashan HaKosuv, Yem Ratzon Lashem. The day of the Tainus is like, in the words of the Pasuk, a day of goodwill unto Hashem. Kifishim Avayad Abbeinu Azakim Begeres HaTshuva. As Dr. Rebbe explains, in Begeres HaTshuva, Shatzeim HaNitzu Hu Yem Ratzon. Why is it called a Yem Ratzon Hashem? Why does the Navi Yeshaya call the fast day a day of will, of divine will? Is that the desired fast day is a day of goodwill, Eis Ratzon, a time of goodwill, Benegel in the Natshuva, as pertains to the matter of Tshuva. So a fast day is not just a regular day. It's not just a day in which we impose upon ourselves suffering, but it is a day that has a unique quality, that it is an auspicious and propitious time for our repentance. And as he brings in footnote 40, the Bulashan HaRambam, Kedei L'er HaLavavus Lufteach Da'ag HaTshuva, Shebezikaren Dvarim Eilu Nashuv Lehetev, that they would have, that these days were imposed to arouse the hearts, to open up the pathways of repentance, that with the remembrance of the events that transpired, we should return to improve ourselves. And the Rebbe continues in the Ha'ara and says, Zer gam techen ha'minik da'amiris divrei kevushin b'yem ha'tainus. And this is also the meaning of the custom to say word Divrei Kivushin on the days of Tainus, which the literal meaning of Divrei Kivushin are words of Musar. Okay, so the Rebbe says not that on a deeper level it's not that way. Yiloshin Yichpei Shavei Neseinu V'Sashav Mitzulis Yom. Okay, but rather it's that he should squeeze and suppress our sins, and he should throw them into the depths of the sea. It's not, the idea is not to squeeze, it's not to crush the hearts of the people, as would seem to be the literal meaning of Divrei Kivushin, but rather to suppress the sins. She'en of Divrei Musa Chas V'Shalom. It doesn't mean words of rebuke, God forbid, which words of rebuke mean pointing out the flaws and faults of the Jewish people. But rather to talk about matters which bring out the merit of the Jewish people. Including also an awakening, to discuss about the awakening to tshuva, the mile of tshuva, as in the words of the Rambam, that there's nothing that stands before tshuva. Not only that, even before the tshuva, the true character of the Jew is, as the Rambam describes in the laws of divorce, that his true innate desire is to be a part of the Jewish people, and to fulfill all the commandments, and to distance himself from all transgressions. So even then, even in the worst of times, in the worst of occasions, the Rambam says that the Jews' desire for to be a part of Jewish people, to do the mitzvahs, is whole and intact. So obviously what's needed here is to bring out and awaken that good which is as dormant as it may be, but it's already there. The good is there, it just needs to be awakened. So, and the way we awaken is not by emphasizing the bad, emphasizing the negative, but rather by drawing out and emphasizing the good. That's how you awaken.
The Rebbe says that it's not Divrei Musar. Is the Rebbe saying that in contrast to people who think it is? Is that a conception that
people?
In other words, is that an opinion that others hold, that
not just
you should say Divrei Musar?
If you look at the context in which the term Divrei Kivushin is brought, it clearly means Divrei Musar.
So they're saying
clearly the literal meaning. it's no question that the literal meaning of Divrei Kivushim means Dvarim Shekevshim Libe Shelado, that conquer a person's heart. There's no question that the literal meaning of Divrei Kivushim is Divrei Musaf. But the Rebbe's saying is that the point of all, you know, it's even B'chatzayin, the pshat is Divrei Musaf. The Rebbe's saying not Divrei Musaf, and even use the term Chas V'Shalom, God forbid that it should be Divrei Musaf, but rather things which emphasize the merit of the Jewish people. Because even when the Torah does use Divrei Musaf, the purpose of the Divrei Musaf is not to bring out the negative, but to crush the negative so that the good should come out. Okay? The Rebbe's saying, since the ultimate purpose of Divrei Kivushin is that to arouse the good, that the good should come out, so the Rebbe's saying that the Divrei Kivushin that he's talking is the purpose of the function is therefore entirely positive. So it's a shift. It's a shift by being regalat the pneumias of a thing. You can go straight to the pneumias, and you don't have to resort to the negative any longer. So it doesn't mean that no one's negating the literal meaning, the fact that clearly, literally, traditionally, it meant words of Musa. And if you look at the Rambam, who describes these words, he describes them as words of Musa. He says the kind of things that the leader of the congregation would say, and it wasn't nice. Okay, so we're not ignoring reality here. Did I ever say it?
Go for the tachlis.
Right, and therefore, since b'pnimius inyanim it is that way, so now al p'chsidus, it's megalat p'nimius, so it's dafka, the positive, and not chas v'shalom anymore to resort to the negative. Okay, so the desired fast is a day of goodwill, a day, an auspicious time, in the matter of tshuva. Shal yodam mevatlam, that through tshuva, mevatlam achorban v'agolus mevim agul, it's through tshuva that you cancel out the destruction and the exile, and you bring redemption, as the Rambam says. Ein Yisrael negol ne'elo b'tshuva. Kvar avtir hateresh, shesev Yisrael lasas tshuva miyadei negol. The Jewish people are not redeemed except with tshuva, with repentance. And the Torah already promised that in the end, the Jewish people will do tshuva and will be immediately redeemed. So, in Yuzek, Havanas Hatzem B'Shvila Tshuva Shem V'Atal Zachum V'Agol Zim B'Bi Agum. So this aspect of the fast day, which is positive, right? This aspect of the fast day, which is positive, in the sense that it cancels out. It brings about tshuva, which cancels out the destruction and the exile, and it brings redemption. That's a very positive thing about these fast days, that has the power to bring redemption. So this positive thing of the fast is mudgish b'asara b'tevis yesim b'sharet atzeimis. It's emphasized in asara b'tevis more than in the other fast days. Why is that? Where do you see the potential for tshuva, the potential for geula, the potential for neutralizing the destruction and the exile in Asar B'Tevis more than in any other fast day? The Rebbe explains, because Shesamach Melech Babylon Yerushalayim Veviya B'Matzah, when the king of Babylon, of Babel, set up his siege outside the walls of Jerusalem, Adayim Loi Paga B'Yerushalayim Atzmah. He still did not do anything, he did not touch in any way the city itself. He had not done any damage to the homes inside Yerushalayim, and certainly not the main building, which is the Beis HaMikdash. Not only did he not yet caused any destruction of the city, but he hadn't even done anything to the wall. Shemakiva Megina Yerushalayim, which surrounds and protects the city of Yerushalayim. Also, the wall at that time was still complete. And the king of Babel, was still outside the wall, as opposed to all the events later, starting from the 70th of Tammuz, which the wall was breached, all the events following that were already the destruction, actual destruction process had begun. Ella, she'etzem ha'uvda she'hoye b'yicholti v'ad she'hikiv v'sachema v'asa matzah l'yerushalayim b'evin she'en yetzevein ba u'meyla l'hoye yuchem l'achas mazin l'yerchuli u'inyin bilti rotzi ad l'kviyas times. Because the question is, okay, if there's no destruction yet, so why did they establish a fast day? That explains the very fact that he had the power to lay siege to the city in a manner that no one could go in and no one could go out, which, and therefore they were not capable of bringing in foodstuffs to the city and its inhabitants. That in itself is something extremely negative to the point of establishing a fast day. Hakavana b'murizeh, what was the purpose? What was the divine purpose in this event? Matzer al Yerushalayim, avu matzer b'lvad b'lil ufgeya b'Yerushalayim hatzma, afilu loy b'chem Yerushalayim, a siege upon the city of Jerusalem, but only a siege without touching Jerusalem itself, not even its wall. Ha'isa g'day la'eres b'nei Yisrael, lashuv b'tshuva miyad. The purpose was to awaken, to arouse, to inspire the Jewish people to repent, to return immediately. Shaydeze yizbatla in yinabilti rotzi mitchilasa, which by return and immediate repentance, this will cancel out all the negativity. It would take away, once the Jews had fully repented, so, puff, King Bavel would be gone. Okay, and nothing would have happened. No damage done.
Similar to like the rain by Noach. It started raining, it didn't have to be...